بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب، صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers, and not forgetting our mothers and sisters at home, on behalf of Madrasa Hamidiya, our respected Muhtamim Saab, the Asatida and staff, first of all we would like to extend a very warm welcome to each and every one of you. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. And secondly, we would like to extend our sincere appreciation and gratitude to each and every one of you for gracing this occasion, which is, although we may have seen on the poster the occasion of Khatmul Bukhari, but in reality this gathering represents something much greater than the completion of one kitab. Rather, it is the culmination of years and years of hard work, dedication and sacrifice. One is on the part of the student who sacrifices his time, his weekends, time with his family, with friends, and hands himself over to the institute, to the Asatiza-i-Kiram. Together with this, the great amount of sacrifice on the side of the Asatiza, who also sacrifice their free time, at times their evenings, their weekends, time with their families and children, in order to teach the knowledge of deen to these students. And not forgetting the sacrifice on the part of the masturat, the women folk at home. They also undergo a great amount of sacrifice to allow their sons, their husbands, their brothers to acquire the ilm of deen. We have great hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant each and every person a full share of reward, inshallah. Respected brothers and elders, our program this evening is very brief, very concise, and therefore we humbly appeal to each and every one of you, let us try and sit with utmost dedication, respect, let us sit with an open heart and mind, let us listen attentively to what will be said and taught, and finally let us try not to spoil the barakat and blessings of this gathering by engaging in any unbecoming acts, especially that of photography or videoing of any sort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Inshallah, to begin this evening's program, we will have a qiraat by Hafiz Muhammad Vaid, who has completed his fifth year and will inshallah be going to his final year of studies after Ramadan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به ثمرات مختلفا ألوانها ومن الجبال جدد بيض وحمر مختلف ألوانها وغرابيب سود ومن الناس والدواب والأنعام مختلف ألوانه كذلك إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء إن الله عزيز غفور إن الذين يتلون كتاب الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية يرجون تجارة لن تبور ليوفيهم أجورهم ويزيدهم من فضله إنه غفور شكور والذي أوحينا الكتاب هو الحق مصدقا لما بين يديه إن الله بعباده لخبير بصير ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير جنات عدن يدخلونها يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ولؤلؤا ولباسهم فيها حرير وقالوا الحمد لله الذي أذهب عنا الحزن إن ربنا لغفور شكور الذي أحلنا دار المقامة من فضله لا يمسنا فيها نصب ولا يمسنا فيها لغوب صدق الله العظيم.
Say جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الجزاء. Time is very limited. There is no time to go into the detail of what was recited. But one point that each and every one of us can take note of is that alhamdulillah in our country, respected brothers and elders, we find there are many programs that take place on a daily basis, different masajid, different speakers, different topics. And many of these programs we find begin with the recitation of the Quran, and what wonderful recitation we hear, what perfect tajweed, what beautiful voices. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it extremely easy for us in our country to learn the Quran Sharif from a very elementary level when it comes to maktab education. Thereafter the Hifz classes where the words of the Qur'an Sharif are memorized. And finally the Darul Ulooms where the deeper meaning of Qur'an is being taught. The science of Qiraat and Tajweed is being taught. We should make this intention to take full advantage of these opportunities. If perhaps we are unable to attend and benefit, then at the very least we make this intention that we open up the way for our children, for our grandchildren to take benefit from these opportunities. And if this also is not possible for whatever reason, then the least that we can do is raise our hands and make dua for the preservation, the success and the growth of all of these institutes. Inshallah, the next item on our program will be a nazam by Maulana Uwais Adamji, who is one of the students who will be graduating tonight.
Marhaba afri ronaqidil kashi بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی جار علم و وفا تجھ سے بیتے رہے علم کے سائے میں تیرے جیتے رہے علم کے سائے میں تیرے جیتے رہے یاد آئے گی ہم کو تیری میں کشی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. ہم نشینو سنو راہ دانو سنو, اے شہ انبیاء کے دیوانو سنو, اے شہ انبیاء کے دیوانو سنو, جو پڑھے تم سبق جو پڑھے تم سبق بھولنا نہ کبھی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گئی. ظلمتوں کی سیاہ ہے سلرتے رہے, ہم چراغ ہدا بن کے جلتے رہے, ہم چراغ ہدا بن کے جلتے رہے, ہم چلے تجھ سے لے کر تیری روشنی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گئی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. تیری فرقت کا بس سوچ کر جامعہ, پاؤ اٹھتے نہیں دل نہیں مانتا, پاؤ اٹھتے نہیں دل نہیں مانتا, چاند سے دور ہو کیسے اب چاندنی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. رشتہ قرآن سے ہر گز نہ تم توڑنا, راہ اسلام ہر گز نہ تم چورنا, راہ اسلام ہر گز نہ تم چورنا, تم سے احقر کی بس ہے گزارش یہی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گئی. مرحبا آفری رونق دل کشی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی, بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی.
جزاكم الله خيرا واحسن الجزاء. The شاعر, the poet, paints the picture of the wave of emotions that surge through the heart of the student. And any true student of deen, as he reaches the end of his formal years of studies, he says, دِلْ يَمَسْرُورَ بِي firstly a feeling of elation, joy, excitement, that this is the moment that every student dreams of when he first sets foot in the madrasa, the day of his completion of his khatam. But at the same time, he then speaks about the emotions that go through the heart of the true student of deen, the dilya ghamgeenabi, that there is a feeling of sorrow, a feeling of sadness, in fact a feeling of apprehension, that now my formal days as a student are over, my time in the company and companionship of my asatiza has come to an end. And those who have been through a madrasa or darul ulum system will understand that unlike other educational institutes where we find the teacher at times is merely a lecturer. He comes in at the beginning of the day, he delivers the lecture and he leaves. Not much emphasis is placed on the well-being of the student. Rather, it is just the academic progress of the student that is monitored. But when it comes to all our madaris, alhamdulillah, the Darul Ulum system, we find it is a two-pronged effort. On one hand, a great amount of effort is made on the academic growth of the student, but more importantly, emphasis is placed on the tarbiyat of the student, his spiritual progress and growth, his ruhaniyat, his iman, his a'mal. And the true student of deen realizes and understands that now that I am going out into the world and I will no longer be in the safe and secure environment of the madrasa, then he feels that sense of apprehension that it should not be that I forego the teachings of my asatiza, but rather he makes that dua from within his heart that my asatiza should always remain pleased with me and I should continue upon their teachings and upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We make dua that all of us, in fact all of us, do remain indebted to our asatiza till the end. We make dua that we all, Allah grant us tawfiq to continue benefiting and continue taking mashwara and guidance from our seniors till the very end. Respected brothers and elders, we have come to the highlight of tonight's program. And before we begin the Khatmul Bukhari, alhamdulillah, we have this evening 14 students who will be graduating. Their names in no particular order. Firstly, Maulana Ahmad, the son of Haji Dawood Adamji of Overport. Secondly, Maulana Uwais, son of Haji Bilal Adamji of Overport. Third, Maulana Zakaria, the son of Hafiz Muhammad Shiraz Amra of Westville. Fourth, Maulana Muhammad, the son of Marhum Zafar Beg of Asheville. Fifth, Maulana Ismail, the son of Haji Irfan Dawood of Overport. Sixth, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria, the son of Haji Ghulam Muhammad Jiwa of Overport. Seventh, Maulana Muhammad, son of Haji Abdullah Dalabai of Musgrave. Eighth, Maulana Huzaifa, son of Haji Musa Karudia of Morningside. 9, Maulana Muhammad Makki, son of Maulana Abdullah Khan Saab of Overport. 10, Maulana Ismail, son of Haji Ahmed Musa of Sherwood. 11, Maulana Mahmood, the son of Maulana Ahmed Motala Saab of Westville. 12, Maulana Muhammad Zubair, the son of Haji Zakaria Salaji of Overport. 13, Maulana Qasim, the son of Marhum Hussein Sataria of Clare Estate. And 14th is Maulana Ibrahim, the son of Haji Muhammad Iqbal Sheikh of Sherwood. We request du'as from each and every one who is present here that Allah accepts from these students and continue to accept them for the khidmat of deen. Respected brothers and elders, we are extremely fortunate that for the final hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, we have in our company our respected Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Saeed Mutara Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum. Hazrat Mufti Sahib needs no introduction, but he is the head of the Darul Ifta and a senior Ustad of hadith of Darul Ulum Azadville. Mufti Sahib has many years of experience teaching in a madrasa and a lot of companionship and company of pious people. We request Hazrat Mufti Sahib to come forward and to commence the final hadith, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل من الشيخ الفاضل المفتي محمد سعيد متارى حفظه الله ورعاه إلى الشيخ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة بن البغدزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمه الله تعالى ونفعنا بعلومه أنه قال باب قول الله ونضع الموازين القسط وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن وقال مجاهد القسطاس العدل بالرومية ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر وبه إليه قال حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. الحمد لله الذي جعل الليل والنهار. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا القرآن وجعله هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. الحمد لله الذي من على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا وشرفنا بالعلماء المتقين والأولياء المقربين والمفسرين والمحدثين والقراء الفائقين والفقهاء المجتهدين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا وشرفنا بالإمام الهمام الحافظ الحجة رئيس المحدثين أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى نفعنا بعلومه وفيوضه. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا وشرفنا بهذا الكتاب العزيز الذي يتصف بأصح الكتب بعد كتاب الله وهو المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، خير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، باب قول الله ونضع الموازين قسطا يوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد القسطاس والعدل بالرومية ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى الإمام الهمام الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى أنه قال حدثنا أحمد بن أشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله العظيم. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه انه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحموا من في الارض يرحمكم من في السماء او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. Before we do the actual hadith, the final hadith of Bukhari Sharif, I have read out to you a hadith from the kitab known as Musalsalat. The full name of the kitab, Al-Fadlul Mubin, من الحديث المسلسل عن النبي الأمين. This book was written and compiled by Shah Wali Allah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah Ali. In this book he has compiled a hadith which have a continuity in a certain feature of the hadith. For example, the hadith which I read, Ar-Rahimun Yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman Tabarak wa Ta'ala, this is known as Musalsal Bil-Awwaliyat. So what is a special feature in this hadith? Special feature is that in the chain of narrators, every narrator is trying to convey the message that this was the very first hadith that I heard from my ustaz, from my sheikh. So in the chain of narrators, although not right till the end, in the major part of the chain of narrators, this aspect of awwaliyat, of being the first hadith, does apply. So in my case too, we had the good fortune when we were in India to sit in the majlis dars of the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And we had this sitting of musalsalat, wherein this was the first hadith that I too heard from the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So students sitting in front of me can also continue this silsala, this chain, saying that you have also heard this hadith from me, Muhammad Sa'id, that this is the first hadith that you have heard from me. So this hadith I mentioned to keep up the tasalful, the barakat of our akabir, our pious predecessors. The hadith that was read before you, the final hadith of Bukhari Sharif, of Sahih al-Bukhari. This hadith is under the section known as Kitab al-Tawheed. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, when he compiled this magnum opus of his collection of ahadith, authentic ahadith, he divided the kitab into certain sections known as kitab. For example, Kitab al-Iman, Kitab al-Ilm, Kitab al-Tawheed, and so forth and so on. So all in all, in this kitab, there are 97 sections. Each section contains various chapters. The chapter is known as Bab. So all in all, in the entire kitab, there are about 3,918 chapters. Under each chapter, he cites certain hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in total, with repetition, according to Allama Tajuddin Subti rahmatullah alayh, there are 7,275 ahadith in Bukhari Sharif. 7,275. According to another opinion, there are 7,563 ahadith in Bukhari Sharif. So nonetheless, there is consensus on the fact that there are definitely more than 7,000 ahadith in Bukhari Sharif. And the amazing part of this compilation is that when Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah sat down to compile this collection of authentic ahadith, which is known as Asahul Kutub Ba'da Kitabillah, that the most authentic book under the sun after the Quran Kareem is the Bukhari Sharif. When he sat down to compile this collection of ahadith, he did not just compile the hadith and pay no attention to his compilation. The attention that he paid is magnificent, truly amazing. Before he put pen to paper, before writing each hadith, he used to take a ghusl and then perform 2 rakats nafal salah with the niyat of salatul istikhara, seeking goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After taking a ghusl, performing 2 rakats with the intention of salatul istikhara, only when his heart would be put at ease from Allah ta'ala, that this hadith is authentic, then only he would put down pen to paper. So basically it means that when there is more than 7,000 ahadith in this compilation, it means he performed at least 14,000 rakats of nafal salah. before this book came to fruition, before it was presented to the Islamic world, such effort was put behind this compilation. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah was no ordinary personality. Besides his academic excellence, he was also muttaqi, a very pious person, born in the year 194 Hijri, 13 of Shawwal on the day of Jummah. He passed away in the year 256 Hijri, which means he lived for a period of 62 years, not a very ripe old age. But in spite of that, Allah Ta'ala took such amazing work from him, that it took him 16 years of arduous effort to compile this Bukhari Sharif. After 16 years of making an effort, acquiring hadith from various sources, various asatira, then he sat down to put pen on paper and he presented the compilation to the Islamic world. Allah Ta'ala in his wisdom knows best. After he lost his father, his mother cared for him in infancy. Allah Ta'ala in his wisdom caused Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi in infancy to lose his eyesight. His mother became very, very concerned, very worried. She had high aspirations, great ambitions about the child, that he will serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was very, very concerned. But Allah Ta'ala removed her concerns. One night as she slept, she saw in a dream Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam coming to give her glad tidings. That go to the bed of your child, you will find that his vision has been restored. So she went to the bed of her son, and alhamdulillah she found that the child that had turned blind was able to see once again. His vision had been restored. In fact, his vision became so acute and so sharp that in a very young age, he wrote the book At-Tarikhul Kabir, which deals with narrators of hadith, the profiles of many, many narrators. And this book, At-Tarikhul Kabir, he wrote under moonlight. You know, moonlight is not very bright, yet his eyesight became so sharp, he wrote this entire book under the moonlight. This is how Allah Ta'ala blessed him. When Allah Ta'ala wishes to take work from someone, Allah Ta'ala blesses them in this manner. He was a muttaqi, very pious personality. On one occasion, after Zuhr Salah, he commenced two rakat Salah. In there, he read lengthy qiraat. But after completing the two rakats, he said to his associates, students that were sitting around him, that let me lift my kurta. Just see, there is something that appears to be walking on my chest. When he lifted the kurta, they found a wasp. And the wasp had stung him 70 times on the chest. The whole body had become swollen. Yet, he performed the two rakats with so much khudu, devotion, concentration, that wasp that was stinging him, he did not even realize, was oblivious of that. When he made salam, then he felt something walking on my chest, and this was a wasp that had stung him 70 times. This was how diligent these people were with regard to their salah, the amount of khushu and khudu. With regard to how much khushu and khudu, punctuality we ought to have with regard to salah. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayh has written an incident in his book Fadail al-Namaz, Virtues of Salah. In there he mentioned the incident of a great buzrug by the name of Hazrat Muhammad bin Sima'a rahmatullah alayh. This person was a Hanafi scholar. He was a student of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh and Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh, who in turn are students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. So in essence, Muhammad bin Sima rahmatullahi was a grand student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with long life. He lived to the ripe old age of 103. But even in that age, 103 years old, daily, besides his five first daily namazes, he used to perform 200 rakats of nafal on a daily basis in that age. For the last 40 years of his life, He was so punctual with his salah with Jamaat, yet for the last 40 years of his life, he never missed his takbir-e-ula in the first saf behind the imam was Jamaat. There was one exception. On one occasion, he missed his takbir-e-ula because his mother had passed away. He was engrossed in the burial arrangements. Because of that, he was a bit delayed. He missed his takbir-e-ula. On another occasion, because of some other obstacle, he missed his entire salawat jamaat. And he became so grieved at that, at missing his salawat jamaat. He was after all an alim. He had the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in front of him, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Salatu rajuli maal jama'a tafdulu ala salatul fazdi bi khamsi wa ishina darajatan, aw kama qala li salatu salam. That the salah performed with jamaat is more superior, 25 times more superior than the salah performed individually. So in order to make up for the loss, he went home and he repeated that namaz 25 times to try and acquire that fadila, that virtue that a person gains by performing salah with jamaat. But that night when he went to bed, in a dream, he hears a voice calling out to him, telling him that Ya Muhammad ibn Sima'a, فَكَيْفَ بِتَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَ, that you may have performed that salah 25 times. But there's a virtue mentioned in the hadith. That hadith is in the same Bukhari Sharif as well, under the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلِيْهِ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ فَقُولُوا آمِينَ فَمَنْ وَافَقَ قَوْلُهُ قَوْلَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you follow the Imam, and the Imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلِيْهِ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, Imam will also say softly, Ameen. You too should say Ameen softly. But at that point of time, the malaika of rahmat, the farishtas of mercy that are in the masjid, they too say Ameen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if your Ameen as a muqtadi behind the imam coincides with the Ameen of the malaika, then all your previous sins will be forgiven, referring to minor sins. So this was the voice in a dream telling him that even though you managed to perform, repeat the salah 25 times, that virtue you lost out. You cannot attain. That can only be gained by following the imam. When the imam says, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, and the muqtadis say, Ameen, farishtas also say, Ameen, then your previous sins are forgiven. So this virtue you could not attain. Maulana Abdul Hayy Sahib Laknawi Rahmatullahi used to say, then Muhammad bin Sima rahmatullahi repeated the salah 25 times. The truth of the matter is, if a person misses one namaz with jamaat, even if he repeats the salah 1,000 times, he will not be able to attain the same virtue. Because there are many virtues attached to performing salah with jamaat. For example, this virtue that is mentioned, where the malaika of rahmat also say Ameen. If your Ameen coincides with that of the malaika, your sins are forgiven. Apart from that, performing salah with jamaat, we get the virtue of having the reward of 25 times individually performed salah. According to another narration, 27 times more superior, you get that virtue as well. Together with that, when the people make salam at the end of salah, they make niyat of salam to the muqtadis on the right of them. When they make salam to the left, they make salam on the muqtadis to the left of them. So this virtue also is lost. Another great virtue, by going to the masjid to perform salah with jamaat, we meet our Muslim brothers, we are able to make salam to them, able to inquire about their welfare. Sometimes there is a program in the masjid, we can participate in the program. So many, many virtues which we can acquire, which can normally not be acquired when a person performs salah individually. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah was an amazing personality. It is said about him, his entire life, he never made a ghibat about anyone. He never backbited. Unfortunately, every single one of us, including myself, we are guilty of the sin of backbiting behind people's backs. We talk ill about them, which is a great sin in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah used to say, مَخْتَبْتُ أَحَدًا مُنْدُ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ الْغِيبَةَ تَضُرُّ أَهْلًا. That since I came to know that ghibat, backbiting is something that spiritually harms a person. Since I came to know this, for my entire life, I never backbited, I never gossiped about anyone. On another occasion he said, إِنِّي أَرْجُوا أَنْ أَلْقَى اللَّهَ وَلَا يُحَاسِبُنِي أَنِّي اخْتَبْتُ أَحَدًا. That I have full hope in the mercy of Allah, that when I meet my Creator on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not hold me accountable for having backbited about anyone, because I abstained from ghibat, from backbite. So this was the way of our pious predecessors. On one occasion, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi was seated in the masjid with his student, Allama Firabari rahmatullahi. So the student noted a speck of dust in the beard of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. So he shook the speck of dust off from the beard of his ustaz. Then Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi noticed that the speck of dust will fall onto the carpet, onto the ground of the masjid of the house of Allah. He said to Allama Firabari rahmatullahi, that pick up the speck of dust and discard it outside of the masjid. And this was keeping in mind the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi himself has mentioned in this magnum opus, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فُرِدَتْ عَلَيَّ أُجُورُ أُمَّتِي حَتَّى الْقَضَاتُ يُخْرِجُهَا الرَّسُلُ يُخْرِجُهَا الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّاتُ وَسَلَامُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the good deeds of my ummah were presented before me. Among those good deeds was that speck of dust, that blade of grass that a person removes from the house of Allah. So here he told his student to remove that speck of dust. There must have been umpteen other times when Imam Bukhari rahmatullah himself removed dust and dirt from the masjid. He did not consider this to be below his dignity. Every musalli's duty, even though the masjid may have a caretaker, muazzin, that does the vacuuming, does the cleaning up, but every musalli should show respect to the house of Allah. If he sees a speck of dust, blade of grass, some dirt, remove it, discard it outside of the masjid in the bin, so the house of Allah can be kept cleansed and free from dirt and grime. So these were people that valued every single good deed, no matter how minute that deed appeared to be. Nabi Sallam says in one hadith, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Do not regard any good deed to be trivial. Every good deed, no matter how little it may seem, that could become the means for a person's salvation in Akhirat. There is an incident of a certain Buzrug, Abu Mansur bin Bukayr rahmatullah alayh. It is famous about him. Allah granted him a long life. For 60 years of his life, he used to keep roza throughout the year. Besides the 5 days in which we are prohibited, the 2 days of Eid and the 3 days after Bakr Eid, Ayyam Tashriq. For the rest of the year, he fasted, not for 1 year, for 2 years, but for 60 years. Apart from that, in his lifetime, he performed 30 Hajj. In those days, it was not easy. Today you can hop onto the plane early part of the morning. By the evening you can make making tawaf of Baytullah already. In those days, these people used to travel for months and months before reaching Makkah al-Mukarramah. So to perform 30 Hajj in those days was no ordinary feat, no ordinary accomplishment. So he also performed 30 Hajj. Apart from that, he took part physically in 40 jihad in the path of Allah. Allah blessed him with wealth. He used to spend his wealth on the poor. In his lifetime, he spent 40,000 gold coins in charity. Who has a financial muscle for that today? Today's gold coin is a Kruger rand. It costs about 50,000 rand each. Imagine a person spending 40,000 Kruger rands in charity. These were the good deeds this man accumulated. Abu Mansur bin Bukayr rahmatullahi. 60 years of fasting, 30 Hajj, 40,000 gold coins in charity, taking part in 40 jihad, yet when he was in the throes of death, he looked very, very worried. People around him said to him, Hazrat, why are you so worried? You have deposited so many good deeds for the Akhirat. So he replied, that may be the case, but I am now going on a journey that I have not embarked on before this. The journey to the Akhirat, to meet my Creator. I do not know how Allah Ta'ala will deal with me, but in spite of that, I have hope in the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He passed away. After his demise, someone saw him in a dream, and asked him in a dream, that, oh, Abu Mansur bin Bukayr, how did it fare with you in the next life? How did Allah Ta'ala deal with you? So he replied, Allah Ta'ala alhamdulillah forgave me. Allah Ta'ala granted me salvation. So the person conversing with him in the dream tells him, did Allah Ta'ala forgive you because of your 60 years of fasting, because of your 30 Hajj, because of your 40 jihad, because of your spending 40,000 gold coins in the path of Allah? He replied, no. Allah Ta'ala looked at a seemingly trivial action. That on one occasion, I was walking along the road and I saw a branch that had broken off from a tree. That had many thorns in them. So I thought to myself that I have spotted this branch. Perhaps another bypasser may not see the branch. He may be hurt, he may be harmed, he may be pricked with the thorns. Let me remove it from the road. And he removed it, keeping the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in mind, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-Imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'bat, which we have read also, the hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Iman consists of more than 70 different branches. In other words, there are more than 70 amal that can enhance the quality of a person's iman, that can strengthen a person's iman. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, A'alaha kalimatu la ilaha illallah. The highest branch of iman is constantly repeating, confessing the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Wa adanaha imatatul adha anit tariq. And the lowest branch of iman that can strengthen a person's iman is removing a harmful object from the road. So because I removed that harmful object from the road, no one else to see besides my Khuda, my Creator, Allah Ta'ala on the basis of this seemingly trivial action forgave me and granted me salvation. So that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ الشَّيْءَ. Do not consider any good deed as trivial. You may have heard of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi's incident. On one occasion, he got onto a ship. He needed to travel. The ship, the sailors had just lifted anchor. They were leaving the shore, still traveling very slowly. When Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi on the coastline, he noticed a person walking alone there, and that person sneezed. When he sneezed, he was a Muslim, he said, Alhamdulillah. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi, after all, was a muhaddith, hafiz of many, many hundreds of thousands of hadith, and he had the hadith in his mind, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the virtue of tashmitul atis. that when a person sneezes, he says, Alhamdulillah, we ought to reply to him, Yarhamuka Allah. And then take his dua. He will give us dua. Yahdikum Allah wa yuslih balakum. So Imam Abu Dawud heard this person sneezing. Now he thought to himself, the ship has left the shoreline. If I reply even loudly, Yarhamuka Allah, he will not be able to hear me. I need to go close to him. So this ship was still traveling slowly. He saw a little boat, the owner of the boat that was rowing the boat close by to the ship. He asked that person, can you take me to the shoreline for a few minutes? The man said, I'll take you, but it will cost you money. He said, how much? He said, 1 dirham. So he paid the 1 dirham. He went to the coastline. He found that person that had sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah. So he said to him, Yarhamukallah. I came to reply to you, Alhamdulillah. On that, the person gave him dua, Yahdikum Allah wa yuslih ba'lakum. And he took that little boat again. The man rowed the boat, caught up with the ship that was still leaving, departing very slowly. He somehow clambered back upon the ship, continued on his journey. That night when the people on the ship, the sailors, every single person on the ship, when they slept, they heard a voice in their sleep calling out, that Ya Ahl al-Safina, Inna Aba Dawud, Ishtara Min Allahi al-Jannata, Bidirhami. That all people of the ship, listen to this glad tidy. That Imam Abu Dawud, the scholar of Hadith, has purchased from Allah Jannat in lieu of 1 dirham. Just by carrying out the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala gave him glad tidings of Jannat. So which is why we should not regard any deed as trivial. When Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi completed this Sahih Bukhari, he was obviously very, very joyous, happy that Allah ta'ala took this great work from him. And with great hope, he exclaimed, جَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حُجَّةً. That I have made this kitab as a testimonial, as a basis, inshallah, of my salvation in the akhirat. That Allah will perhaps use this book to grant me salvation in the akhirat. We know in the world too, when people go and visit kings of certain countries, they go to the court of the king, they take certain gifts with them, presents with them, to present to the king, and the king also expects that. He looks forward to it. So basically, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is saying that if Allah Ta'ala has to ask me on the day of Qiyamah, what gift have you brought for me? I will say I brought this Sahih Bukhari as a gift. My 16 years of effort behind this book. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi, he used to say, in one majlis he mentioned, that if on the day of Qiyamah Allah Ta'ala were to ask me, that, oh Mahmud, what have you brought as a gift? I will present these two gentlemen, these two personalities. Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi was referring to Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Hardoi rahmatullahi, and Hazrat Maulana Qari Muhammad Siddiq Sahib Banwi rahmatullahi. Both of these buzooks were the students of Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi. They also used to consult him, make mashra with him. Although Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullahi was a khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thani rahmatullahi, and Qari Siddiq Sahib Bandwi rahmatullahi was a khalifa of Maulan As'adullah Sahib rahmatullahi, the Nazim of Mazahir Ulum Saharanpur, who in turn was a khalifa of the Thanvi rahmatullahi. But after the demise of the shuyukh, they did not consider themselves independent. They used to make mashura, consult with the other asatida, with the seniors. In the case of Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullahi, after the Thani rahmatullahi passed away, he built a connection with Maulana Abdul Ghani Sahib Pulpuri rahmatullahi. And after his demise, he used to consult with Maulana Muhammad Ahmed Sahib Pratap Gari rahmatullahi. After his demise, he used to turn to his ustaz, هذا الشيخ الحديث مولانا محمد زكريا صاحب رحمة الله عليه. And after the demise of the Shaykh رحمة الله عليه, he used to consult his this Ustaz, Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi رحمة الله عليه. It shows that we should not consider ourselves free from the attacks and the onslaught of Iblis, Shayateen and our nafs. We should at all times keep ourselves connected with some buzruk or the other, take mashara with them, consult with them in our important affairs, important matters. That is very, very important. We go on to the hadith which is mentioned under this chapter. باب قول الله ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة. Allah Ta'ala says, we shall erect and put up scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. The purpose of the scale, to weigh the amal, the deeds of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wazn amal, this is known as. In the last section, Kitab al-Tawheed, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh wishes to refute the false beliefs of deviated groups that deviated away from the right path, away from the path of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And broadly, these groups are four in number, known as Ru'usul Mubtadi'ah, the chieftains of propagating bid'ah as far as aqaid, as far as beliefs are concerned. Who are these four groups? Mu'tazila, Murjiya, Rawafid, and the Khawarij. They are known as Ru'usul Mubtadi'ah. Under them there are offshoots of many smaller groups, deviated groups. For example, under Mu'tazila, we get Qadriya, who deny Taqdeer. Under Murjiya, you will find Jahmiya, who have been mentioned in this section, Kitab al-Raddi al-Jahmiyati. You will get Karramiya as well. Under Rawafiz, you will get the Shias, Isna Ashara, Isna Ashariya Shias, Jafariya Shias. These are the extreme groups of the Shias, who cannot even consider them to be within the fold of Islam. They are out of the fold of Islam. Because harboring beliefs of this nature, that they feel that the Quran that we have before us, 30 juz, is not a complete Quran. They feel that 12th Imam that disappeared into some cave will reappear before Qiyamah, disappeared with another 10 paras of the Quran. They also have the concocted belief that from the more than 124,000 Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, approximately, all of them, na'udhullah, became murtad, besides a handful of Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. They also believe that Imam Mahdi will come. He will take Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha out of the qabr and flog her. Imagine beliefs of this nature. They have not even spared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, na'udhu billah, that Allah Ta'ala also made a mistake. Allah was supposed to send the wahi, the Quran, to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But my mistake, Allah also made the mistake, na'udhu billah, and Jibreel alayhi salam also made the mistake of taking the Quran to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can such people remain within the fold of Islam? And the fourth deviated group, the Khawarij. Beneath them they also have many divisions, many groups, like the Azariqa, Abadiya, and others. So this is what Nabi Sallam refers to. If you take these chief groups and then the subgroups, they consist of many, many groups, which Nabi Sallam has alluded to in a certain hadith, that the Banu Israel were divided into 72 different groups. But my ummah will be divided into 73 groups. Only one of them will be naji, successful, which is that group, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, the group on which I am consistent and my sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, my companions are consistent. That is the only group that will be successful in the akhirat. And that is a group that we ought to stick with, to affiliate ourselves with, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. So this group, known as Mu'tazila, deviated from the right path. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, in this chapter, wishes to refute their incorrect belief that they did not believe that there will be a physical scale on the day of Qiyamah that will be utilized to weigh the amal of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say in this verse of the Quran, where Allah ta'ala says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ قِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. This scale is mentioned in a metaphorical sense, not in a literal sense. It means that Allah ta'ala will establish justice on the day of Qiyamah, when He decides who is to go to Jannah, who is to go to Jahannam. Allah will be fair and just. It does not mean that there will be a physical scale there on which the amal of the servants will be weighed. Whereas the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat believe there will be a physical scale. Literally, people's amal will be weighed on the scale of deeds. The argument put forward by the Mu'tazila, they say that amal cannot be weighed. They subject every nas, every ayat, every hadith to common logic. That if it does not appeal to our common sense, common logic, we will not take the literal meaning into account. We will twist it and take the metaphorical meaning into account. So they say there cannot be a physical scale. Because why does Allah Ta'ala need to weigh our amal? When Allah Ta'ala is alimun bidhati sudur, Allah knows what is even within our hearts. So Allah knows how much amal, good deeds we carried out, how many sins we perpetrated. Allah is fully aware. Why does Allah Ta'ala have to weigh our amal in order to become aware? So this is the first argument they put forward, that this shows that amal will not be weighed. The answer to this from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat is that Allah knows everything, definitely, 100%. But Allah Ta'ala will have the amal weighed. Why? For itmamul hujjah. So that the person can lay his argument to rest. He cannot argue. Seeing is believing. He will see with his own eyes that my amal are being weighed. And you will see, perhaps Allah Ta'ala save us, that some people will have the pain of evil deeds outweighing the pain of good deeds. And they will go into Jahannam to burn for a certain period of time. So they will not be able to argue. They have seen with their own eyes that my evil deeds have outweighed my good deeds. And if a person is fortunate, Allah Ta'ala make us all fortunate, that the pain of good deeds outweigh the pain of evil deeds. Those people will go to Jannat through the grace and the fadl of Allah. Other people who will be destined to go into Jahannam, they will not be able to argue and say, why is this person going to Jannat and I am going to Jahannam? They will also have to rest the argument that we have seen with our own eyes. This person's pain of good deeds outweighed the pain of evil deeds. So for the sake of itmam al-hujjah, people can rest their arguments. They cannot raise their voices, not argue before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to placate them, in order to put them at ease. That is why the amal will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. Another argument these people raise, the Mu'tazila, they say amal are something abstract, intangible. It does not have a body. So nonetheless they argue that our amal are something abstract, intangible. It does not have a bodily form, a physical form. Whereas if you go to the fruit and vegetable market, you take some fruit, vegetables, put it into the packet, have it weighed on the scale there. It's something physical that you are weighing. Amal are intangible. Like what I'm speaking, the words emanating from my lips are coming into the air and disappearing into thin air. You cannot catch it and put it into your pocket. Or for example, this microphone. This is something physical. But the attributes of the microphone, the height of the microphone, the width of the microphone, the length of the microphone, these are attributes connected to the physical microphone. They are not separate entities that you can see with your eyes or put them into your pocket. This desk has a certain color. The color is attached to the desk, the brown color. You cannot separate it from the desk. It is not something tangible that you can put into your pocket, put onto a scale. So the Mu'tazila say that when amal, actions are something intangible, how can they be weighed on the day of Qiyamah? Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat have given various replies to this. Time constraint does not allow me to mention all the ulama that have mentioned or preferred each of these opinions. But one opinion is that on the day of Qiyamah, the actual person will be weighed. No matter in the world how robust, how big in stature he may have been, but if he had no amal saliha, on that scale of deeds, he will have no weight whatsoever. Zero weight. It comes in the hadith, in the same Bukhari Sharif, under the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِ الرَّجُلُ الْعَظِيمُ السَّمِينُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوذَةِ أو كما قال لصلاح السلام. That a person very robust, very big in size, will come on the day of Qiyamah. He will be put on the scale of deeds. His weight as far as good deeds are concerned will not even be equivalent to the wing of a mosquito. That is how light he will be on the scale, indicating that there are no good deeds whatsoever. To support this view, there is a hadith also in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Musnad Ahmad. On one occasion, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala climbed upon a tree to break a branch for his miswak. He had the lungi on. When he climbed to the top of the tree, a gust of wind blew his lungi, which exposed his shins. The Sahaba radiallahu majmain, from the bottom of the tree, when they saw how scrawny, how thin his shins were, they began to laugh. Human nature. Then what a thin, scrawny person this is. And Nabi Sallam heard this, he said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, مِمَّنْ تَلْحَكُونَ Why are you laughing? They replied, مِنْ دِقَّةِ سَاقَيْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Because of the thin nature of his shins. So on that Nabi Sallam said, فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَهُمَا أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ أُحُدْ أو كَمَا قَالَ الْسَلَامُ. That even though in this world he may be so thin and scrawny, the same shins, when his body will be put on the scale of deeds, it will weigh heavier than even the mountain of Uhud. Such were the good deeds of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. A second opinion is that on the day of Qiyamah, the registers that Kiram and Katibin write, note down our good deeds, the Farishta on the right, and the Farishta on the left, our evil deeds. These registers will be brought and put onto those pens of the scale. On the right pen, the registers of good deeds. On the left pen, the registers of evil deeds. So the hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, a man will come, 99 registers will be put before him. They will contain all his sins, all his evil deeds. He will feel that I am doomed. I am heading for destruction. 99 registers full of sins. How will I ever gain salvation? So then he will receive glad tidings. Allah will say to him, Inna laka indana hasana. We have one good deed with us. Fayuta bi bitaqati fiha. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. A small piece of paper will be brought. On that will be written the Shahadatain, that I testify there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and I testify Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the true messenger of Allah. That little piece of paper will be put on the pen of good deeds, it will outweigh all those 99 registers. And Allah through His Fadl will decree for this person to go into Jannah. In one version of the narration it is mentioned, لَا يَثْقُلُ شَيْءٌ مِنْ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Nothing can be heavier than the name of Allah. So because this piece of paper will contain the name of Allah, it will outweigh the other pair. A third opinion is that الْأَعْمَالُ يَتَجَسَّدُ. This is the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that our amal in this world may be abstract, intangible, but in the akhirah they will be given a physical form, and that form will be put on the skin. Support of this in one narration comes, a person will go into his qabr, will be greeted by a man with strikingly handsome features. He will ask that person, Man anta? And he will get the reply, Ana amaluka salih. I am your good deeds. It has come in this beautiful form. But the final view, which the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in general have adopted, that even though this amal may not be given a physical form in the akhirah, even in the abstract, intangible form, that scale will have the ability to weigh those amal. In today's age of technology, this is not far-fetched. In the medical fraternity, they have instruments that can measure your blood sugar, measure your fever, where these things, fever, etc., are abstract, intangible phenomena. Yet, we have instruments that can measure this. Digital recorders can capture my voice, which is something abstract. So in the world, we can see gadgets of this nature. Why is it not possible on the day of Qiyamah? That Allah Ta'ala's scale of justice will be able to weigh our amal even in the intangible form, in the abstract form. So this is what Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi says, that on the day of Qiyamah, وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمْ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَرْ. That the amal of insan will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. Their verbal utterances, they will also be weighed. Although qawl comes within the purview of amal, he mentioned this separately, because the hadith refers to qawl, the utterance of subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. This also will be weighed. Mujahid Tabi'i says, al-qistas al-adlu bi-rumiyah. Qistas in the Roman dialect means justice, to be fair. Referring to the verse of the Quran, وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Surah Isra, known also as Surah Banu Israel, verse number 35. This verse also comes in Surah Ash-Shu'ara. So the people of Shu'aib a.s. were told, when you sell your commodities, then weigh it with a just scale. Do not cheat your customers. So this shows in the Quran, there are certain words, although of a very minimum amount, taken from other dialects, other languages as well. Some ulama feel that every word in the Quran is originating from the Arabic, not from other languages, because the Quran says, بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. The Quran says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. So if these people are asked, there are certain words in the Quran are from Hebrew origin, Aramaic origin, Abyssinian origin, they replied that this refers to tawarud al-lughat. When two communities intermingle with each other, then sometimes one community adopts the vocabulary of another community, embraces those words, accepts it into his own language. So these words, even though originally they were of Hebrew descent or Aramaic or Abyssinian descent, they were embraced by the Arab community and they became Arab. They became Arabicized. Other ulama feel that yes, there are words from other dialect, but on the basis of the principle in Akthar Hukmul Kul, most of the words in the Quran are from Arabic. There are some words from other languages. Allama Tajuddin Subki rahmatullahi says, there are 27 words in the Quran from other languages. Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi adds on a further 24, making it come up to 51. and Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah has a further 60, making the tally up to 111 words from other languages. But the thousands of other words in the Quran are from the Arabic language. وَيُقَالُ الْقِسْطُ مَصْدَرُ الْمُقْسِطِ. It is said, Al-Qist is a masdar of Muqsit. As students, academically, you know, Muqsit is from Bab If'al. So the masdar should be Iqsat, not Qist. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is going to the first origin of the word. In other words, Qist is a masdarul masdar. Iqsat is a masdar of Muqsit. And Qist is a masdar of Iqsat. And this means adil, to be just. Like in the Quran, Surah Hujarat, verse number 9, وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Be just, Allah Ta'ala loves those who are just and fair. وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُ فَهُوَ الْجَائِرُ. He is indicating towards the verse of Surah Al-Jinn, verse number 15, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. Those who are oppressive, they will become fuel for the fire of Jahannam. So qasit means ja'ir, an oppressor. So this shows there are certain words in the Arabic language that have dual meanings. The same root word qist, it could mean to be just, it could mean to be oppressive as well. Many other words in the Arabic language, depending on the context where it is used, raghiba fi means to show interest in something. Raghiba an means to show disinterest from something. So the same word raghiba, yet it has opposite meanings. In English grammar, this is known as a contronym. We have heard of synonyms like bright, radiant, these are synonyms. Bright and dull, these are antonyms. We get contronyms, which means two words spelt exactly the same, but having opposite meanings. For example, the word dust. You will tell the servant, dust the room. Means remove particles of dust. But here we say the lady in the kitchen dusted the cake. It means she added particles of icing sugar to the cake. Adding dust instead of removing dust. So the word dust spelt exactly the same, but having opposite meanings. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah then comes with the hadith, the final hadith. Ahmad bin Ashkab relates from his ustaz Muhammad bin Fudail. He relates from Umar bin Qaqa. He from Abu Zur'a. He from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that kalimatan habibatan ila rahman. Kalima in Arabic grammar refers normally to a single word. But at times it also refers to a whole phrase, entire sentence, entire clause. So here it means a clause. There are two clauses that are beloved to Rahman, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the shura commentators say in this sentence, this is khabar-e muqaddam. The predicate has been brought before the subject in order to create a bit of curiosity in the listener. So this creates curiosity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, two phrases, two sentences are beloved to Allah. So obviously we become curious, we want to know what are those two phrases. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, khafifatan ala lisan. If they are beloved to Allah, a person may become despondent, that perhaps they are difficult to utter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, they are very light on the tongue, free flowing on the tongue, very easy to utter. So this now increases our curiosity. The two sentences are beloved to Allah and light on the tongue. What could they be? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Saqilatan fil mizan. These two sentences will be very weighty on the scale of deeds. So this is what Imam Bukhari is trying to prove with this portion of the hadith, that these two sentences, although they are verbal utterances, they will be weighed on the scale of justice. And now our curiosity is ended. Nabi Sallam says, what are these two words, two phrases? One is Subhanallah bihamdihi, and the other Subhanallah al-Azim. Both the sentences, Subhan, which is why this hadith is known as hadith of tasbih. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi builds amazing connections, amazing bridges between two hadiths. This hadith is mentioned in three portions, three places in this kitab. One is here in Kitab al-Tawheed, one also in Kitab al-Da'wat, and also in Kitab al-Aiman. But the very first hadith of the book, the hadith al-Ikhlas, Imam Bukhari's ustaz there was Humaydi. Here is ustaz in the last hadith is Ahmad, Ahmad bin Ashkab. The root word of Humaydi and Ahmad is Hamd, praise. So by bringing this ustaz of his in the beginning and in the end, Imam Bukhari indicating that we should at all times, from the beginning of our lives till the end of our lives, always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only being worthy of all praises of the entire universe. And also the sahabi has brought in the first hadith, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, here it is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, both are muhajir. Both migrated to Medina Munawwara. They did the hijrat. So he's indicating that in order to make an effort on deen, we have to make hijrat. We have to leave our homes, apart from our families too. So on that, I am from Azadwal. Our ishtima taking place, Azadwal, Khawteng, ishtima. So, most I can do, you're also going to have your ishtima a week after that, I think. We are having it 1 week after Ramadan. So I can appeal to you to make dua for the success of our ishtima in Azadwal. There also, the theme is the same. For an ishtima to be successful, hijrat takes place, nusrat takes place. People from outside will make hijrat to Azadwal, and we the people of Azadwal, inshallah, will make that nusrat. That is how deen will prosper. Also Imam Bukhari could be indicating to the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. Al-Kama qala al-Islams. A true migrant, a true muhajir is a person who makes hijrat from the prohibitions set down by Allah Ta'ala. That is a person who avoids sinning. He discards all sinning. That is a true muhajir. We make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala accepts his completion. Allah Ta'ala conveys the reward, misal al-thawab, of what we have heard and read to the compiler of this book, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, and to all our asatiza, all our mashayikh. My mubarakbad, glad tidings, congratulations goes out to these students graduating today. May Allah Ta'ala make you beacons of hidayat for the entire world. Also mubarakbad to your asatiza, to your parents, to everyone else who was instrumental in your students reaching this milestone. May Allah Ta'ala accept from all and everyone, inshallah, and make this dini madaris and dini idaras the source of Islam, the winds of hidayah spreading throughout the entire world. Just a few decades ago, we could not even dream that in South Africa, we will have students completing Siyah-e Sitta, Bukhari Sharif in this country. We all had to go to India, Pakistan to study there, spend years there. But now Allah Ta'ala made it very, very easy for the young ulama of today. Allah Ta'ala accept from everyone, accept the efforts of everyone, and make you the means for all our forgiveness and our hidayat, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa abdul hamd sallam, al-da sahab sallam, wa addamana darkhas karra, inshallah, wa dua kar ikhtitam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, al-aqibati al-muttaqin, wa salatu wa salam, wa sayyidil musaleen, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahabi al-ma'in. Allahumma inna la dhikrika wa shukrika wa khusni ibadatika. اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الامور كلها واجنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الاخره اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين اللهم نسالك العفو والعافيه والمعافاه الدائمه في الدين والدنيا والاخره والفوز بالجنه والنجاه من النار اللهم ثبتنا للايمان وامتنا للايمان واحشرنا يوم القيامه من ايمان بحرمة القرآن وحرمة النبي آخر الزمان ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا لا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أتم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير وصلى الله تعالى على كل سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.
Respected brothers and elders, very quickly, we would like to once again say Jazakumullahu khairan to all those who have attended, especially Hazrat Mufti Mutara Sahab, tam barakatuhum. And we would also like to request that you all continue to remember the madrasa, the asatida and the students in your duas, inshallah.